Oh, we can close the door and then we'll get a little bit more. All right, so we're starting the Mishnah of Shofar and Nisdak. The Mishnah of the Gemara of Zayin of Alf and Vadim of Zayin of Beis. And basically, the Gemara here goes through many complicated demons of Psulei Shofar. Not the Psulei Shofar that we had in the previous Mishnah, which referred to the Min. In other words, did it come from a Para? Did it come from a poor animal? The Isle was a Kafu. And the comparison between Shofar Rosh Hashanah and Shofar Taimus. Here what we're talking about is we have a Shofar. Whatever it is, it's from the right Min. It's the right type. Everything's good, except that there's a problem. And many different possible problems. The first one being Shofar Shen Nizdak. So regarding Shofar Shen Nizdak, there's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. At least the way Tosfos understands Rashi. Rashi doesn't tell us exactly whether the Shofar fell apart into two pieces. But Tosfos infers that from the Rashi Divrei HaMaskil Pasul. The Mishnah says, Shofar Shen Nizdak V'Dovko Pasul. Meaning even though he glued it together, Rashi actually uses the French word glue, and he says, Pasul Dehavi Le'Kishnei Shofros. There's a Tosfos said, the Torah says Shofar, and Chazal interpreted that to mean Shofar Echad V'Lo Shnei Shofros. So from the fact that Rashi applies the principle of Shnei Shofros, the Psul Shnei Shofros, you could derive that Rashi is referring to a case where the Shofros are broken into two halves, two parts. And Tosfos says, V'tema, this is about six lines up from the end of the page, D'yim Nechlak L'gamri, if the two parts of the Shofar completely separated, Hainu Dovak Shivrei Shofros. That's exactly what the Mishnah says in the next section of the Mishnah, that he takes Shivrei Shofros, broken pieces of Shofar, and he glues them together. So it seems that, again, in the accusation here, Rashi would present a Mishnah that's totally redundant, and it's repeating itself exactly as it is. Tosfos, therefore, says L'kach Nira offers a second interpretation. Alternatively, the nistak mitzad echad liarko al pnei kula. That there's a sedek that splits the shofar, I guess you would call it horizontally, meaning straight across the middle, and it's not separated yet. And there's a new psul that's called mistak. Now Tosfos is going to have to ask himself the question, okay, it's not that he's putting together different pieces of shofar, because the original shofar is still intact. So why is this puzzle, this case of Nistak, which Tosfos says, Alpnei, we are Alpnei Kulo. So Tosfos says something very interesting. He says, Lufisha ain't shame shofar olav. That's not called a shofar. So Tosfos has a psul shofar, and he says, V'kolshkein dibek shivrei shofros. How much more so if he were to connect small pieces of shofar. And Tosfos is learning this Mishnah the following way. This is called lozu afzu, which is a method of interpreting the Mishnah. Meaning, I'm going to tell you the lesser chiddush, I'm going to tell you the greater chiddush, and it goes without saying in the second case, which is a lesser chiddush. So, in the first case, the shofar is still intact, and yet it's puzzle. And certainly, how much more so if the shofar is broken up into pieces. So that's how Tosfos interprets the Mishnah. But both the opening line of the Mishnah, that's Nistak, and the second case of the Mishnah, that's Shivrei Shofros, are both cases in which ain't shame shofar olav. Now, what we want to do is take a look in the Shulchan Aruch for a minute, and see how the Mechaber passes. So we're now looking at Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Siman Tov Kuf Pei Vav. And let's begin with Se'if Ches. Se'if Ches is exactly our case of Shofar Shen Nizdak. And the Mechaber says, Nizdak Li Arko, which really reflects Tosfos' interpretation of the Mishnah, that it's Nizdak Li Arko, and it's possible. Now, if you notice, Tosfos adds another word. He says, Nistak li arko al pnei kulo, that it's complete. So you're not just talking about a split in the shofar, a small split which represents a fraction of the shofar, but rather this split stretches through the entire shofar.
Here in the Mechaber, he says, Yesh over mafil betol shuru posel. In other words, he quotes the Shita of the Rush. And according to the Rush, any seder, any split in the shofar is enough to passel the shofar. Why is that so? Because it seems, from the physics of it, that once there's a split in the shofar, no matter how small that split is, the pressure of the wind blowing through the shofar will expand and extend that split. So we're not going to play any games over here. We're not going to wait until the point that the split in the shofar reaches all the way to the end. Once there's a split, which he calls kol shehu, that's enough, according to the Rosh, to pass the shofar. The Yesh Omrim, and then he quotes another opinion, which is the Rav HaMagid, but it would seem that that would reflect also Sashita, Dafka Berubo. Okay, unless it's the majority of the shofar. Everybody agrees, however, in the third case, which is Nistakulo, that it's possible. Now here's the question I wanted to raise with you. And you may have noticed it in the pages I gave you. Is it possible to salvage such a shofar? Or should we take the shofar and just put it into Gnisa? There's no real Gnisa in the shofar, but put it away for all posterity, let the children play with it if you like. There's no way of resurrecting this shofar from the dead. So there are two ways of going here. One way is to add something externally to the shofar. And that's called a stima. We're going to see that later on in the case of Nikev, when there are holes in the shofar, you can plug up the holes, and that's going to be absurd because of shofar below davar acher. The shofar has to produce the kol without any extraneous addition to the shofar. So that's going to be a no-no. But maybe there's a different way, and this would reflect a little bit more the contemporary situation. You could actually, by process of heating, you can join together the two parts and completely nullify the split. Now, I thought that that would be a great idea. And the Mechaber thought of the idea himself, but he doesn't like the idea. In fact, the Mechaber says the following, Afilu chimimo ba'ur, even if he heats up the shofar over the fire, the chiver sdaka, the tzedek that we worried about, the split in the shofar, is no longer around. He was mechaber the two sides, zeh uzeh. Nevertheless, it still remains possible. And I want to raise two questions here. Question number one, why is that so? I mean, Vishlam, if he adds a stima, you know, he takes wax or glue and he adds something extraneous to the shofar, that's explicit in the Mishnah, that cannot be machshir shofar, because shofar below, davar acher, can't be something extraneous to the shofar. But in the case of chimim o be'ur, he's not adding anything extraneous. Why should that be a problem? But I have a second question that I want to ask you. The Mechaber here, the structure and the sequence of the Mechaber bothers me, because he's about to embark upon an entire list of problematic shofros, we'll call them. For example, in Se'if Yud Aleph, he has the case of Hosif Olav Kol Shehu. Bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino. So he expanded the shofar, as it were, by adding something to the shofar. Again, if it was shelo b'mino, that would again be invalid, disqualified, because below davar acher. Now the kol shofar is coming through something extraneous to the shofar. But even if he added mino, that means he added from another piece of the shofar, that too is possible. Now, what happens in such a case? Would I be able to fix the shofar? Because why is the shofar puzzle now in Sif Yud Aleph? Hosif Olav, because he added a piece. Well, to the same extent that he added a piece, he can subtract that very piece he added. Is this an irreversible situation? I'll give you another example. In Sif Yud Beis, Hafacho V'Togabo Lo Yotze. He turned it the other way around. Now, what does that mean, the other way around? So the Mechaber is very outspoken on this. There are two possibilities, and they're both invalid. Lowly boy, the real chiddush is he turned the shofar inside out. Again, if you, by a process of heating, you can actually soften up the shofar and turn it inside out. That's chof chokis kicholom. Alternatively, even in the case where he took the smaller part of the shofar, that's the part of the shofar that attached itself to the animal, the narrow part of the shofar which he's blowing from, he expanded it, and then he took the katzar part of the shofar, the rachav part of the shofar, which is the natural wider part at the end of the shofar, right? And he narrowed it, because again, there's a pliable, this is that pliable shofar, we'll call it, P.S., pliable shofar. And yet, that too is possible. What if he undoes what he did? What if he turns it right side up again? The Mechaber doesn't address that question. I'll give you another example. In Sif Yud Gimel, Haya Aroch V'Kitzro, it was a long shofar, but it had a problem somewhere in it at some point. Let's say there was a steamer, so he added some glue, whatever it is. And now, Kitzro, he actually cuts off part of the shofar, and he does it in such a way that he leaves a sheer shofar in the part that's left is kosher. So my question is as follows. On the one hand, when the Mechaber addresses the case of Nistak, he adds this very harsh proviso or point. He says that no process whatsoever, lo mi bo, if you add something extraneous to the shofar in order to close up the tzedek. But even if you were to close the tzedek naturally, so the shofar looks identical to what it did when it was on the horn of the animal, attached to the head of the animal, that too is possible. Meaning, the psule shofar, once to use brisket terminology, once it's chalos psul in the shofar, it's inherent in the shofar that's disqualified, that's irreversible. But yet, after presenting one case after the other, an entire list of cases that follow of psule shofar, let's just go over them again very quickly. We have the case in Sif Yud Aleph of host if he added to the shofar. We have the case in Sif Yud Beis of hafacho, he turned it the wrong side up. We have the case in Yud Gimel where it was too long and there was a psul in the shofar and then he cut it down to size. In none of those cases does he add this point that it's irreversible, and from the fact that he omitted it, what do I derive? Sometimes, you know, we derive things from the Rambam and the Shulchan, from what they say and also from what they don't say. You know, if the Mechaber, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, should have, you know, I'm arguing 5 centuries with Rabbi Yosef Kari 5 centuries ago. You know, we're in the city of Tzfat here, and I'm arguing with Rabbi Yosef Kari, saying, Rabbi Yosef, why didn't you suspend this principle of Hechsher Shofar Apostle and tell me that if you want to address the issue, can I or can I not kasher a shofar? You know, in an animal, you know, there's ways of kashering an animal, right? There's shechita, and then there's molicha, and we go through a whole process to kasher the meat. Is there a way of kashering a disqualified shofar? And if your answer is absolutely no, a flat no, even chamamo ba'ar, you reduplicate, you recreate the shofar the way it was in its natural state, it's unacceptable. It's out. So why didn't you wait a while? Why were you so eager to tell me that? In Sif Ches, when you paskin the halach of Nistak HaShofar, why didn't you wait till at the end of this whole story, meaning in Sif Tezvav, and then make a general statement that would reflect back on all of Psule Shofar, that Shofar Shenifsal Efshar Lachshir? And if you have any doubt about what I'm saying, take a look at the case of Aruch V'Kitzro, where the Mechaber says Beferish and Nishar, if what you're left with is Kishir, Shofar is Kasher. So a second ago, before you took the saw and you sawed away the shofar, it was possible. Now it's Kasher. So
why do you assume that Kitzro was a Pasul shofar? Maybe it was just a very long shofar.
Excellent. So that, you're right, I skipped something. Take a look in Haya Aruch V'Kitzro. You have the Mishnah Berurah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent. So if you take a look at the... This is going to be the Shar HaTzion Kuf Aleph, which means, in the Mishnah Berurah, this is a quote from the Kesef Mishnah, Samach Gimel. Do you see Samach Gimel? He says, the Ashvi'inon. It's the last of the skinny lines in my printed edition. You may have a slightly different print than I do, but the last of the skinny lines, right where it says Sharatzim Kuf Aleph, he says Ashvi'inon. What's the Kiddush here in Kitzro? The lo tema did the inon kol akeren koshahadi der kiddush barosh. Okay, that's one shot of the Kesef Mishnah. Then, if you look in the bottom, he tells you. Oh no, I'm sorry. So let's look at Samach Dalet. This is the second half of the same Kesef Mishnah, which is now in Sharatzim Kuf Beis. And again, if we had time, I would open up the Kesef Mishnah. He says, "Vafilu hoyavo psul mitchila." V'kitzro kidelach zero left shero nami mutter. So there are two ways of learning the Kiddush of Kitzro. Either you can say Kitzro, now the shofar is not identical to the way it existed in its natural form when the animal, you know, was alive. Or, and this is the second shot which I'm more interested in, there was a psul in the shofar. So here's the length of the shofar. Right? That's somebody else in a natural state. We'll call it 12 inches long. Right? That's the shofar. Now, at some point in that 12 inches, there's a psul. That's how the Kesef Mishnah learns it. So now, even though by sawing the shofar off, it's no longer in its original natural state, that, says the Kesef Mishnah, in the second shot, it's not a chiddush. It doesn't have to be in its natural state. All we need is a shear shofar. But, says the Kesef Mishnah, the chiddush is that there's a psul in the shofar. Let's call it nistak v'niskam. That would be a classical case of psul, where you add something to the shofar externally. As long as you left with the shear shofar, so you, let's say it's a 12-inch shofar, right down there in the middle, you know, you put a piece of glue in, you can cut, and you left with 5 inches, and 5 inches is a shear shofar, because it count, you know, you can see it on both sides, like Kadei Shiyotze, who says it, is then Yiyotze. So again, you know, it's not just that I'm being medayek from the omission of the Mechaber, because he omits this halacha of Hechsher HaShofar, but it will also be medayikin in a more explicit way from the Kesef Mishnah, who's the same author as the Mechaber, that in all cases, Haya Aruch V'Kitzro Kosher, in Yesh Boshim, why? You know, even when? Even when there was a psul in the Shofar. So Lamaisa, if I ask you the following question, can you be machshir apostle shofar? Is it yes or is it no? Is it black or it's white? And like any good question that's a bit complicated, the answer has to also be complicated. There's no simple answer to this question. There's no absolute rule. When it comes to shofar shen nistak, the mechaber takes a very extreme position l'chumra. I don't care what you do to the shofar. It's split, it's puzzle. Give it to the children to play with. You know, it's psikresha velonichol. You know, you give the head of the chicken. I don't know why children like that, but anyway, that's... But if it's any other psul, the Mechaber doesn't say anything about being machsheh of the shofar. And therefore, I would insist that you could be machsheh of the shofar. For example, hafocho, turn it back to its original state. Baruch the Kitzro, we saw already. Hosef all of culture, you added another piece, take that piece off. There's nothing irreversible. No, so why is this not irreversible? So I know you can tell that I can read your minds. Oh, Rabbi, all right, you heated it up and you melted it, dust, and yes, but it's still a weak shofar. You know, tomorrow you're gonna blow on, it's gonna again split. I understand all that, but I come from a different school, you know, that to me, you know, it's gotta be halacha, you know, it's not just. So again, let's go back to Tosfos. I think the answer lies in Tosfos.
In this case of this stuff, there is this stuff by human being caused. This is or just natural. This stuff doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't think it makes any difference as far as I know. As long as the tzedek is, Tosfos says it's from one side of the shofar all the way to the other, and it's length, the full length of the shofar. It's possible. The Rosh went even further. This is not kosher. So, you know, people who start picking at shofars, they may be very careful. As soon as it's ascetic, man. Again, I wouldn't say ascetic means chipped on the outside, but as soon as it's ascetic, it goes through the orech, you know, any part of the orech of the shofar, it's possible.
So, the Russian calls it any kind of anyness. What's interesting that in the case of our Kutso, but it has a psul, could that psul have been ascetic or have you done that? or the Rosh Hol, or according to the Rosh.
Again, it depends on, you know, on the Rosh and Tosfos. So according to, then you have to ask another question, which is a different hakira, but I'll get to in just a minute. Was the Rosh saying that Nistak Kolshu has a din of Nistak Kulo, or it's a separate halach? You know, maybe like a Zag, Harchaka, the Rabbana, maybe it'll all mention. Let me ask Yechiel, I'm sorry if I'm pushing on this, but come back to Tosis. You have a Lashon HaTosis. Did you notice something about the Lashon HaTosis? The first of the wide lines at the end of your page, Chav Zayin HaBanav. What did you notice about Tosis? You know, if you're sensitive to the conceptual worlds of Halacha, you'll jump when you read these words in Tosis. What does he say? Elio, what does he say? You see the wide lines. You see the wide lines in the... Or you want to look at the last word in the next one.
Shofar,
I mean, you hear that, you know, if you're a little bit sensitive to the world of lovers, you know, you jump out of your seat when you see that. You know, there's something called a psul shofar. And Tosis just could have said it's possible. But Tosis was hard pressed over there. What psul is it? You haven't added anything extraneous to say that it's Shnei Shofros. It doesn't look like Shnei Shofros. You remember we had the Gemara of Abaye about Shofar Shopara, Gildi, you know, look, layers and layers every year, the horns, and it looks like two Shofros. Fine, two Shofros, but split, that's not two Shofros. Does it look to you like two Shofros? Not only that, there's a din of Shofar v'lo Dover Acher, that the Kol Shofar has to be produced by the Shofar. Well, I would submit to you that even in the case of a split Shofar, it's the Shofar that's producing the sound. So Tosis was really hard-pressed. What is the name of the baby here? Why is this Shofar possible? And Tosis says, Ein Shem Shofar Ho. Then he equates it with the next line of the Mishnah. What's the next line in the next Baba in the Mishnah? Shivrei Shofros. And he says that Shivrei Shofros is also with the Kolshkein is Ein Shem Shofro. Rabosa, you take a shofar and you simply smash it into pieces.
It's not a shofar anymore.
It's not a shofar anymore. Yeah, it once was part of a shofar, but does it look like a shofar? Does it smell like a shofar? They're little pieces of shofar. Now I would submit to you the following. If you could break a shofar into parts and you're left with one part that has kashir shofar, that's not shivrei shofros. Then you'd have other problems. Let's say if he glued them all together because he was a mafunah and he wanted this. But if he didn't touch the shofar and he left it as it is, it's a shever shofar, but it has a shir shofar, I would say it's kosher. Maybe it wouldn't be my first choice for kashir shofar, but it's kosher. But I think we're talking about a case where he took the shofar, he smashed it, as we say in America, to smithereens. It's little teeny pieces. And now he starts gluing it together like a person who puts together a puzzle, you know, one of those things they have, those, you know, the pirate ships, you know, and you have little pieces, you know, these people, the models, they're unbelievable. It's such a talent to put them together. And then they usually display them. And the housekeeper has to, you know, dust them off every couple of days. You know, these beautiful things. But that's what he did with his shofar. He literally took, like a surgeon, you know, who Nebuchadnezzar is dealing with someone who completely smashed his bones and puts all the bones together, piece by piece. You know, 12-hour surgery, you know. That's what they did with the shofar. The shofar is subjected to a 12-hour surgery. They pieced it together, and they glued it all together. Tosis says, Ein Shem Shofar. So what? I think the Mechaber looked enough to me here from the language of Tosis. Again, this is just Burzon. You can laugh at me and throw tomatoes at me. There's no kfiadatit here. You know, we don't have any religious coercion here. But I think that the Mechaber learned something very fundamental from these words in Tosis. That a shofar could be possible, or you could completely remove its status as a shofar. Those are two distinct categories. In the first category, you have a shofar, but it's disqualified. In the second category, you don't have a shofar at all. And this kind of distinction will reflect all of the shas on everything, all mitzvahs. You know, you can talk about a matzah that has a problem, and you can remove that problem. It's a psul. You can talk about big day kahuna and psul, or you can talk about something that doesn't even enter into the, you know, it's a radar screen. It's not defined in any sense as the object that you need for the mitzvah. That's called hafka shame. The shame itself is paka. Reb Chaim builds tili tilim on this, not in shofar, but in other areas of halacha.
So what's nafka mean?
From Lyson, what's nafka tachlis? In any event, it's puzzle.
Well, you can fix it.
Exactly. If you are fixing something that has a psul on it, so you're removing the psul. If, on the other hand, you are taking something that doesn't have a shame shofar, then what are you doing?
Wasting your time.
Why?
Can make it.
Wait, Harvey's not here today.
Oh, so you can't create a shofar.
What?
You can't build what exactly.
You can't create a shofar. That you don't have. A shofar has to be natural.
Yeah,
a psul is a problem. Remove the problem. But to create a new shofar, that you can't. So this is, you have the sheets that I have over here. Well, I think it should be number 3 if you have that page.
Where the term psul is used, can it always be corrected throughout halakha?
I think that any psul could be corrected as long as you remove the psul. But if the psul is so deep, it's so profound, it slices down to the essence of something, then you have to know, because I don't know if it can be humanly created or not. In the case of the shofar, we're going to see over and over again that there has to be some connection to the natural state of the shofar. That's why indeed hafcha is going to be a problem, because even though you're blowing and producing a shofar, but it's not bouncing off the sides of the shofar as the shofar existed in nature. Do you see the paragraph that starts with Masha Hiksha Ramban? It's about paragraph number 5 towards the bottom of page 3. The Ramban asks the following kasha on Rashi. He says, I don't understand. Rashi, you're telling me that in the mission of Dovko, you took glue and you added that, you applied that glue to the place, the part of the shofar that split. Says the Ramban, I don't get it. We're going to have a Mishnah, which if you turn right here to Chav Zayin Amid Beis, you'll see that there's a halacha of min b'she'eino mina. Again, the Mishnah is a little bit ambiguous, because the Mishnah does allow for a stima, and yet it's kosher, it lav kosher, but the Gemara qualifies that and says the stima could be kosher only under very, very controlled conditions. It's got to be min divino, it doesn't change the nature of the shofar, the kol shofar still remains. And what was the third condition that the Gemara establishes? Oh, it's got to be mi'uto and not rubo. Fine. But if, let's say, you associate the shofar with a stima that's lo divino, then kuliavolo pligi, I don't care, even if this kol shofar wasn't changed or defaulted. And even if it's mi'uto and it's not rubo, it's possible. That's shofar below dovrach. So you see that min b'shei no mito, when it's added to a shofar, is an automatic psul in the shofar. So the Rabbani says to Rashi, you're saying dovko the glue. Glue is min b'shei no mito. It's not min shofar. So certainly it should be possible, and the Mishnah is going to establish that in the case of Nikkei v'sasun. Why then does the Mishnah feel compelled to add the case of glue?
When we say mino and we're talking about adding something, are we talking about the piece of shofar or the piece of plastic that you're adding, or also the glue? Could you make glue out of shofar dust?
I don't know. Just, I don't know. You're asking a good question. You know, if you took shofar dust and made it into glue, that would be min mino. I don't know. Is there such a thing, or you just...
You're asking a conceptual question.
I have wood glue. I don't know what wood glue is. My imagination is that it has pieces of wood. I don't know what I can do.
So we'll ask the farmer. We'll ask the... Yeah, I don't know. Did anyone here major in engineering? What they call it? What's it called? Not mechanical engineering.
Material
engineering. So we'll have to ask the material engineer. You know, we have Benjamin Adler here, who's got his PhD.
These are organic materials, right?
I think wood glue...
Synthetic.
It's not called wood glue, because it's made out of wood rather, because it is meant to bond to a porous surface like wood.
In any event, I think what Rashi is trying to tell us here in the Mishnah is that this glue is different from a stima. In the case of a stima, your goal is to close up a hole, and that area that that addition, let's call it the stima itself, you know, plug it up with whatever you plug it up with, right? That itself is serving as part of the shofar. That psul is because you're adding something to the shofar. Rashi wants to point out, in the case of glue in Nistak, your purpose is not to add something to the shofar. It's not like, you know, here's the shofar, and all of a sudden there's a hole in the shofar, right? So you've got to fill in that hole so that the wind that you blow into the shofar will bounce off everything. You won't fly out into the air, right? So that addition becomes integrated into the shofar, and if it's min b'shein omino, it's possible because it's shofar acher. However, in the case of Nistak, what Rashi wants to point out is that you're not coming to fill in a hole. On the contrary, you want to make sure that the shofar is completely closed and it looks and it's restored to its original state. In such a case, the problem of min b'shein omino doesn't exist. It's a different problem. And that is Nistak. That Nistak in and of itself, because the shofar is split or will be split, Tosus learns in Rashi that it already is split, and therefore it's a repetition of the next piece of the Mishnah of Shivrei Shofros. But the point being here again that you're not supplementing the shofar. Like, for example, you have a person who never can't walk without the help of a stick. And so that stick is like a third leg or a second leg. Because, right? So it becomes something that he stands on. That's the case of stima. That's the case where you add glue to fill in the hole. Right? You with me? But then there's another case. And that is where the body itself needs something to attach different parts. I'm using medical, so speak, bushel here. And therefore, you put that in to strengthen the knee. Now you can stand on your own leg. That's what Rashi is interpreting in the case of this.
So there's a difference between plugging and joining.
Excellent. Plugging and joining. And I'm going to write that down. Somebody write that down because that was well said. Now, I wanted to see if we could take this diuk, this breakthrough, I think, where the two categories of pakashim shofar as opposed to shofar apostle, and perhaps squeeze it out a little bit further for another afternoon. We don't find any of these dinim of psulei shofar in shofar shel tainis. For example, shofar shel tainis in the case of Nistam, and even if you add glue to it, we never found that shofar is possible. Why is it that in the case of Tainus, right, all these limudim don't apply, but yet the poskim say that in the case of shofar shel Tainus, Nistak is possible? What's the difference between shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, which has a long list of psuli shofar, with the yukim, v'lo dover achim, v'lo shnei shofars, etc., etc., as opposed to shofar shel tainis, where everything is kosher with one exception, and that's this thing. What's the answer? All you need on tainis is a shofar. There are no psuli shofar. And shofar shel par is fine, everything's fine. You don't need kofu, but you do need a shofar. And if it's not a shofar, because it's Nistak, it's Pokashim shofar. Yes?
The whole issue of Shem shofar is only the whole way to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says possible.
Right. It would have been nice had the Mishnah used the language of Tosfos here. And instead of saying possible, as it does time and time again throughout the Mishnah, it should have said, ain't no shofar. But you see, the Mishnah is more practical, meaning the Mishnah is addressing the issue right now. You know, you got up on Rosh Hashanah, that's the shofar that's on the table. You know, you don't have time now to do this, to do that. You know, yeah. It'll be an interesting shiloh, by the way, if let's say in certain cases you can be machshir the shofar, because it's only a psul. Like, for example, if Nistam, you know, Nikkei v'Nistam, would you be allowed on Rosh Hashanah? You know, it's the last minute, you know, there's the shofar, nobody thought of this, and all of a sudden the Rav says, wait a minute, it's possible, look at that, there's glue in there. Somebody put chewing gum into a whole shofar, you know what I'm saying? Would you be allowed to be machshir shofar? Does anybody know what issue I have in mind?
On Yom
Tov.
Without concluding.
Exactly. Tikkun Kli, Tikkun Bonah, which is one of the Lama Tessim laws. So that would come under a serious problem of Meleches Yontif. Now we do have one category of Heter on Yontif that doesn't exist on Shabbos. What's that called? Of Lefesh. Good. So the Mishnah in Beitza, the famous Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis of Ochel Nefesh, gives a number of examples of what you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. And one of them is carrying a shofar, carrying a tinok for a mitzvah. Were you carrying a shofar for the mitzvah of shofar, carrying a tinok for the mitzvah of milah? So this engenders a whole machlokas tree by Sof Beis Shammai about what exactly is ochel nefesh. Beis Shammai says that you're eating it, and with all due respect to the mitzvah of shofar, you're not eating the shofar. You gotta be really turn it into some sort of dust. I would say that eat the dust. I don't know, bite the dust. But you're not eating it, and therefore would not be permissible on Yom Tov. But we pass it like Beis Hillel, and that's called what? Mitoch, right? So mitoch expands your definition of ochel nefesh to include anything that comes under the mitzvah sayom. So the question is, would the malacha of tikkun mana? See, Hotzah, the Gemara said, it's mind-boggling. Hotzah, the Gemara says, is called ochel nefesh. We don't understand why. Don't even bother thinking about it. Because any explanation you give is not sufficient. I mean, the Rav used to say that dafka because Hotzah has no relationship to ochel nefesh, that's why it's completely mutter on Yom Tov. Like, it's very paradoxical and very profound. But tikkun mana, you know, it could be for the sake, you know, for example, hashchaz asakin, you know, you need a knife to cut the meat, and hashchaz asakin is a subcategory of tikkun mana. So the question is, does that come under mitoch? Because mitoch doesn't let you do anything in the world. It's not just an open-ended. It has something to do with the nature of malach. So for example, if I can't eat my meal on Yom Tov because my roof collapsed and it's raining and pouring, am I allowed to reassemble my house? What word am I? Reconstruct my house. That's malachas bonin. And the question is whether bonin comes under malachas ochel nefesh. The Rambam says it doesn't. So even if you're doing bonin for the sake of ochel nefesh, the nature of the malacha per se defines whether it could lend itself to the hector of ochel nefesh. There's a Tosfos Shabbos who says, unbelievable, that malachas bonin might be mutter on Yom Tov in what's called Megavin. You remember this Tosfos? World-class Tosfos. You know, everybody remembers this Tosfos. Because what's Megavin? Megavin is a told of dash. And it's when they make the cheese, they actually attach different... I don't know if they do it today in the same way, but in the old days, they actually madbikim, you know, chelke agvino biyachin until nasa gush echot, and that's called Molechas bonin. Whenever you take small pieces and you construct them together, it's called bonin. And that's mutter enough for according to Tosfos, because it's done all the levels. So I don't know if you'd be allowed to be machir or shofar, you know, chasam chak. Actually, the whole team is waiting for shofar blowing. But what you have to do is just simply remove a little piece of glue. I don't know. You know, you really have to know malechus ochel nefesh for that. But I wanted to call your attention to another part of the Mishnah for a minute. And maybe we're fast-forwarding because there's just so much to do here and so little time. I think this is our last get-together. Are we getting together on Wednesday? But the real tzaddikim, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, I'm saying this is the last get together before Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says the following: Mishaya over achorei beis haknesses. You know, I always wonder who this guy is. You know, in Flatbush where I was brought up, nobody would walk by a beis haknesses on Rosh Hashanah and not come in. You know, even the I don't want to get into details, but everyone would come in on Rosh Hashanah. No, but this guy, he's not even go, what?
No, he didn't have a ticket.
Right. You're right, you're 100% right. Misha haya over achorei beis haknesses, etc., etc. V'shama kol shofar, or kol megillah, and kiven libo yot. So there's a whole discussion about kavanas halev, but I want to focus on something which Tosfos calls our attention. What would be the din if you walk outside of the Beis HaKnesses, past the entrance of the Beis HaKnesses, and the Chazan was up to Kedusha, would you respond to Kedusha and fulfill the mitzvah of Kedusha? Or does the fact that you're outside the Beis HaKnesses exclude you from the tzibur that's fulfilling the mitzvah of Kedusha? Another question. What happens if there are 9 people inside the Beis HaKnesses, and you're what we call the center? The only problem is you don't want to walk into the shul for whatever reason. We've had things like that in the past, but hopefully not. So he comes in. So if he stays outside, this is what's called in the halachic jargon, siruf makom. Meaning, in order to join together people to form a tzibur, do they all have to be in one makom? And if they do, how do you define a makom? So Tosfos summarizes three cases. His first case is Shofar Megillah, that's one category. And there Tosfos insists that there's no halach of tziruf makom, meaning you could be yotzei Megillah even though you're not inside the shul, as long as you hear the Megillah. You could be yotzei Shofar even though you're not inside the synagogue, you hear the Shofar. That's one case. The other extreme is where we need you as a tenth person to form the tzibur. There everybody agrees we need tziruf makom. And then in the middle we have the case of Kedusha. In the case of Kedusha, Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Erevin. This is, if you count up from the bottom of your page, on Chof Zayim and Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. He says that if there's a tzibur the ketanim, in the smaller shul, and a shliach tzibur is the gedola, ein yotzi yidei chovasar, the leka asorat im shliach tzibur. Okay, so even though that you have in the smallest synagogue you have 9 people, one of whom is the shliach tzibur, the 10th person who's located in the base Gedola is not mashlim the tzibur, he's not mitzurf to the tzibur. But then he quotes a Gemara in Psachim. Psachim has a case of min ha'agaf delachutz. Right? You have many synagogues will have an extension part. So there may be a roof on top, and beyond that roof is called min ha'agaf v'lachutz. And then we have a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rav says that since he's min ha'agaf v'lachutz, he's not part of the tzibur as far as tefillah is concerned. We'll see exactly how Tosfos interprets that in just a second. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, afilu mechitza shel barzel, you're separated from the rest of the tzibur by a metal door. Mafsekes ben Yisrael, ein mafsekes ben Yisrael ve avim sheshamayim. So Tosfos says the following, that what's the case in the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? It's a case of Kedusha. And the question is, can you respond to Kedusha if there's a mechitza mafsekes that separates you from the rest of the team? Okay? So I'm trying to figure this all out in my mind. What sense does this make? If there's got to be a tziruf, for example, even in the case of Shofar or Megillah, you have to be mechaven as libo, the Mishnah says. That's unquestionable. So you need to somehow link up to the blowing of the Shofar on the part of the blower, or the reading of the Megillah on the part of the reader. So then, why not compare it to the tzibur of tefillah, which requires tziruf makom? And what are you going to tell me? No, there is no halacha of tziruf makom. It doesn't exist. As long as I can hear it. So if that be the case, if I can hear the shliach tzibur, even if I'm outside, why isn't that enough for me to be yotzei tefillah and tzibur? And thirdly, in the case of Kedusha, we have machlokes shi Rav and Levi. Rav says that you need tziruf makom. You can't answer Kedusha if you're not inside. And Rabbi Yeshua the lady says, you know what, you could be out there, who knows where, but you hear the Kedusha. You know, imagine you're standing on Amon Kefayim Street, you hear Kedusha, you know, you answer Kedusha. And people might think you're a little nuts, but that's what Rabbi Yeshua the lady says. Afilu mechitza shel barzel. Do you understand my problem? Tosfos doesn't give me a grasp on the gedarim, when you allow tziruf without tziruf makom, and when you require tziruf makom. What are the guidelines? As we say in modern Hebrew, my mahan chayot. You know, give me the card. Heaven?
You can help yourself without joining tzibur. Answer Kedusha, the yotzi shofar, all these things. When it comes to making the minyan, you've got to be there with the promise with you.
Okay, that's great. Okay. I'm just looking for terminology. I'm going to say the same thing you said, but using my terminology, which I think, you know, you could eat the food on the plate without a fork and knife, but if you have a fork and a knife, it's a little more sophisticated. There are two types of obligations in halacha. One is called the chovas tzibur, and one is called the chovas yachid. shofar. It's a chofes yachid. Megillah is complicated because there's one day of Ravashi that we only read the Megillah in the Tzibur, but we don't paskin like Ravashi. We paskin that even a yachid is chai for Megillah, and therefore if someone's ill and they can't come to synagogue, we'll try to arrange that someone read the Megillah for them. Same thing in shofar, we'll try to arrange up. You know, I saw on the schedule, prior, what was it called? The second shofar bombing, whatever it is. That's because shofar is a chofes yachid. Tosis holds in Chofes Yochid is only one rule that governs the halach, and that's Shomei Ka'onim. Shomei Ka'onim means you have to hear it. If you hear it, it's as if you responded to it. Even though you might argue, well, Shmiah is a little bit passive, you know, he's not blowing the shofar, but the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, the mitzvah is to hear the Megillah reading. And it's an individual private mitzvah which I can fulfill through Shomei Ka'onim. Then there's something called Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur has nothing to do with your private Shmoneh Esrei. Your private Shmoneh Esrei will daven wherever you are on the face of the universe. But if you want to be part of a Tzibur to fulfill the additional kiyuv, not the kiyuv of Tefillah Yachid, but Tefillah HaTzibur, which is a unique kind of tefillah with its own powers, then we need a tziruf. It's no longer a question, well, did you hear? Okay, Shomei Ka'ona, yes, but Shomei Ka'ona, but not as part of the tzibur. In other words, Tosis is postulating that whenever you have to form a tzibur, the formation of the tzibur, or the linkage to a tzibur, requires a tziruf makom. Makom is a prerequisite, a requirement in joining together the individuals to form a unique entity called a tzibur. In the case of Kedusha, we have a very strange halacha, and it's almost impossible to define it as either A or B, meaning Kedusha requires a tzibur. Ein dorish b'kedusha pachas me'asara, and that's the mission at the end of Megillah. But yet, could Shomei Ka'ona, even if I'm outside the basic, has to be sufficient to link me up to the Kedusha, such that I can fulfill the mitzvah of Kedusha even without being officially part of the tzibur. Now again, let me say this. We need the tzibur, that's crystal clear, to engender the Kedusha. Meaning, you cannot engender and create Kedusha without a tzibur. That we know. But once that tzibur exists already, now, can I just hear the Kedusha, we'll call it a bracha, we'll call it Kedusha, and by hearing it through Shomei Ka'onah, I can be yotzei. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, says, afilu mechitzas shel barzel mafsekes. Kedusha is just like shofar Megillah. Once the Kedusha has been engendered, has been created, we have a tzibur through tzirif makom, now the shliach tzibur creates an entity called Kedusha, and you're yotzei. Comes along Rabbi, he says, no. That's not the way Kedusha operates. There's a whole other element here in Kedusha. Kedusha means that your obligation is to be Makari Shem Shamayim. Actively, you have to be part of the Makachim. When the mitzvah is passive, Shomei Kona means just link up to the bracha, link up to the kriya, to the shofar, the kol shofar. You've heard it, you're passively yotzei, because the shliach tzibur or the tokeah has created an entity called a Megillah reading, called a kol shofar. You just have to be passive and receive it with the intention that you want to fulfill your obligation. But in the case of Kedusha, says Rav, you have to actively be Mekadi Shem Shamayim. Well, in order to actively be Mekadi Shem Shamayim, what do you need? There's no Kedusha Shemayim believing. Asara, the whole mitzvah of being Mekadi Shem Shamayim is B'fnei Asara. Generalidinim of Avera Chamur, the Gimel Avera Chamur, that's even the Tzina. But we're talking about Kedusha Shem Shamayim. So the Kiddush Shem Shamayim means you link up to the Tzibur, now you're part of the Tzibur, your act of reciting Kadosh, 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 or at least listening and through Shomei Ka'onah, now becomes a public act of Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi understands, no. There's a kiyum mitzvah just in hearing Shomei Ka'onah, the Hefta of Kedusha. Let the Shliach Tzibur recite the Kedusha, you hear it, and that's enough. Rav says, no. Kedusha is not passive. It's not an act of hearing like it is in Shofar and Megillah. Kedusha is an act of being a Kaddish Shemayim. Who do you need in order to facilitate your Kaddish Shemayim? You need the Tzibur. So then there's no Tzibur unless you need Tzibur for all complete. Rabbi said, the next sugya I'd like to do with you, Mr. Shem, again, it depends, if you're not itching to learn Yom Kippur, for Yom Kippur, that's up to you, is shofar b'tal shofar. And here the halacha is, in kol chitzoni shofar, if he heard the call of the outer shofar, lo yotzi. In kol pnimi shofar, yotzi. And if we take the Mishnah Kipshuta, it all depends upon the laws of chatzitza, meaning the air goes through the inner shofar, and therefore it bounces off the inner shofar and it's inside, and you hear a shofar that is produced from your neficha. But if on the other hand you hear the shofar, chitzoni, the outer shofar, and there was no maisat ki of neficha through that shofar, then the inner shofar serves as a chatzitza to the outer shofar. This sugya is very profound. But since it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to take our last 4 minutes that I allow myself. I'm going to take the license, if you don't mind, of darshaning a little bit on this halacha. Because I think this halacha has a tremendous message for us as we approach the new year. Is that okay? Whenever I see the word chitzoni, which means external, it sends my mind into by sheer association to outer space. And whenever I hear the word pnimi, I know that there's something deep and something existential that's being expressed in me. We live in a society, and maybe it's not just contemporary society, maybe it was always like this, where there's a tremendous amount of emphasis on what I call chitzoniyut. And truth be told, a lot of it is just an illusion. I remember a friend of mine once told me that in Flatbush, where I came from, he used to walk by this one house and always admire his mamish mansion. And by the way, every one of us can imagine this kind of situation wherever they come from. And he always used to think to himself, oh my gosh, who lives in that mansion? You know? Until one day he happened to be passing by. And it was a young couple, and they were taking out their child. The child was never paraplegic, couldn't move a muscle of his body. They had a whole, like an ambulance kind of thing, taking the child. So, we think, oh, the grass is green elsewhere. It looks really nice on the outside. They're living in a mansion. Was felt, what's missing in life? I wish I had a mansion like that. But you don't know what challenges a person faces. And you could be as rich as, as Korach, and nevertheless, you're facing difficult challenges, and you would not want to necessarily switch places with that person. But we gauge by chitzonis. The famous story about the couple that lived in Belgium, and they were wealthy as can be, they had rugs from every country. It was mamish like a museum, but they never spoke to each other. They only spoke, he to she, back and forth through lawyers, because they were involved in a divorce suit that took 20 years until they finally solved it. So on the one hand, chitzonis, it looks great. That's where the life is. The beautiful marbles and the Italian this and the... But then there's something called pnimius. And pnimius really determines who you are and where you're going and what's important to you in life. Your system of values and priorities. And on the day of Rosh Hashanah, we want to get it straight. We want to come in front of the Ribbon Shalom and say, there may be a shofar, but don't shofar here, but we're listening to the kol pnimi. We are in tune with ourselves. We're not interested in what everyone else does. I spoke about this before, Slichas the other night here. We're not interested in how did they evaluate us. You're always looking over the shoulder, how does she, he, the neighbors and the friends and this. Oh no. Comes to Rosh Hashanah, all we care about is his evaluation of us. So we drop all the chitzonis, we realize that it belongs to a different world, not the world of truth, and we focus on the pnimius. And Yiratzav it be his will, that if this Rosh Hashanah, we can tune into ourselves, our very essences, our pnimius, and HaKadosh Baruch will say, Yotze the midst of shofar, and with that shofar shalmata, we'll hear the shofar shalmala, the Yom Ahu Yitaka, the shofar Godel.
So what should we do with Dan? You want us to learn?
So I think what we should do is take a vote. and then I'll decide.
No, I'm just kidding. That's what my Rebbe used to always say whenever we used to ask him, what are we learning next year? But we're the next two get-togethers, because I don't think I can be here on Wednesday. It's going to be a little bit tough. You know, Taurus and Dharam takes a long time. Just kidding. My question is, what would you... We have two... I think we'll have two meetings on Monday and Wednesday of next week, correct? Yes, that should be true. So I would press, even though I have a belt of stuff here on show for that we haven't even touched it, but I would press that we do something relevant to Yom HaKippur. And the two choices are either the sugyas of tshuva and kapara, which are the end of Yuma, or perhaps the sugya, which is a fascinating sugya, of cholah b'Yom HaKippur. And that'll touch on all sorts of issues about what we're allowed to do for the sake of a cholah, who constitutes and qualifies as a cholah, and so on and so on. Okay, then, so first let's take a vote whether we want to go on in shofar, that's A, possibility number A, or we want to fast forward to something relevant to Yom Kippur, that's possibility number B. All in favor of A, all in favor of B. Okay, so we're going to fast forward to Yom Kippur. That seems to be a unanimous opinion. Now I want to take another vote. A would be the sugyas of tshuva and kapara at the end of Yuma. Okay, and B would be the sugya of cholah b'Yom HaKippur, which touches on a lot of different dinim. Does the cholah he has to eat? You know, does he make kiddush? Does he bench? Does he say shayyam or not say shayyam? I mean, fascinating different issues with regard to cholah and Yom Kippur. Who constitutes a shayyam cholah? I'll tell you a story from the Rav. When I asked him if my wife should fast on Yom Kippur, she was pregnant. Anyway, so that's A and B. So again, what was A? A was tshuva and kapara, and B was a cholah. All in favor of A? Okay, all in favor of B? Okay, it's by a very narrow minority. Okay, so good. So Mitzvah Shem B'limeda, I'll give you Mara Mekomos starting tomorrow. Tomorrow's what?
Tuesday.
Is Tuesday. We'll be here Tuesday at least to learn, Mitzvah Shem, on the Sugi of Chol of Yom HaKippur. All right then?